In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. The NIV has the translation that the secrets of the kingdom of God have been given to you. This is not the best translation. The word is mystery. The gospel is a mystery and not a secret. Secrets are no longer secret once they have been given, but a mystery remains a mystery even when it has been given. And it's an important nuance. There are no secrets that we Christians hold and guard. We preach the word openly to all, trusting that God will use it according to his good and gracious will. And yet it still remains a mystery for us. Where it works, when it works, even how it works is a mystery for us. And yet God continues to sow that word in the hearts of this world. Two people can hear the same exact sermon, and one can walk away confessing it is the truth of God's holy word, and the other one can view it as nothing more than the thoughts of a man. Yet God continues to preach his word. It is reckless, foolish by our reasoning, that God would waste so much good seed on bad soil. 3/4 of it is wasted. And yet this is the grace and mercy and love of God. We assume that he should set up a demographic survey first and figure out what people really want in a church and then give them that. Get the most bang for your buck. It's how we control our finances and run businesses. But the way the world thinks is not how God thinks. He thinks by grace. And so he sends out his word to the hearts of the world everywhere, trusting that it will always accomplish his good and gracious purpose. We may not understand that purpose in the least. We may not get it. And these are the mysteries of the kingdom of God. For God alone knows what is good, right, and true. It is very easy to highlight the soil in this parable. After all, it is the variable. But that is what Satan wants us to do. Then all of a sudden we have a reason for why we are saved and others are not, because my heart was just a little bit better than theirs, more receptive to the word of God than theirs. The highlight and focus of this parable is that seed. It is the word of God. All that soil is lifeless. Soil has no capacity or ability to produce life. The power rests solely in the seed. The power rests solely in the word of God. And so the soil does not ask the farmer to plant the seed in it, neither can unbelievers ask God for faith. But God must act. God must work. God must take action and begin to walk the fields of men's hearts, scattering that seed. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. The mysteries of the kingdom of God are given by grace alone. By grace alone, sown in the hearts of believers. It is the gift of faith. But that does not mean from here on out we are always the good soil. Remember, the point of this parable is not to tell you that you have to be the good soil, but it's about the word of God and how God continually preaches that word to you with reckless grace. So every time that word is proclaimed, whether here in this parish or in parishes throughout the world, God walks the fields and sows. Every time you hear the word of God, whether here or at home, or even in conversation, God is scattering that word in your heart, and one of these four things will happen every time, every time. There are great dangers to the word of God, great dangers to our reception of the word of God. We should not take these lightly. Jesus is giving us a warning here. The devil is not some mythological creature from a bygone superstitious era. He is real. And along with his demons, he hovers overhead, waiting for any opportunity to swoop down and snatch that word away from us either through neglect or daydreaming or something else. The world is a real threat to our faith. Our faith is not simply an intellectual exercise, but it consumes us entirely, directing our way of life, our manner of talk. And so we stand out in this world. If we confess the word, we stand out. This is a time of testing for us. We don't want to be that one person going against the flow. But just as God told Elijah, you are not alone. There are far more in store, far more saved by God's grace than even we can possibly see or imagine. And when we get to heaven, we see thousands upon thousands upon thousands, the saints of God. We must confess the word rightly. It's not just a matter of the heart, but it is the matter of actions, words, and speech as well. Perhaps the greatest danger is our sinful flesh. The word takes root and faith begins to grow, but very quickly faith can turn into knowledge. Good works are there, but they're nothing more than an outward exercise, while the heart is not right. The heart is more concerned with finances, or children, or its spouse, or life on this earth, rather than the life God has won in heaven. And so these dangers are an ever-present reality every single time the word is preached to you. This unholy trinity, the devil, the world, and our sinful flesh, will stop at nothing to make that word unfruitful in our hearts. It can feel almost like a tug of war as we are being torn in multiple directions. Even within the preaching of one sermon, we can be all four types of soil. So how does a plant protect itself from the birds? How does it get rid of those rocks or tear out those thorns? Now you see why this parable can't be about us and what type of soil we must be. We're helpless. St. Paul, too, was helpless. He had that messenger of Satan tormenting him, hovering overhead, and God did not take it away. He had the world persecuting him. You heard about all the disasters and suffering that St. Paul went through. So how were the mysteries of the kingdom of God given to St. Paul? By grace, through the preaching of the word. How are the mysteries of the kingdom of God given to you? By grace, through the preaching of the word. Week after week, day after day, God continues to sow that word in your heart. It is a gift given solely by God's grace. And it is given through the external word. And yet God would not take away that thorn in Paul's flesh. For when Paul was weak, then God's grace is glorified. It's counterintuitive. We wonder how great Paul really could have been, how much work he could have accomplished if he were healthy and strong and never faced any persecution. He could have traveled to Europe or perhaps beyond. But we think according to the ways of the world and not according to the kingdom of God. St. Paul was nothing more than the hand of the farmer casting out that seed in the world. Those churches were not planted because he was such a great orator or his way of speaking. They were planted solely by the word of God. The power rested in the word and not in St. Paul. And so when Paul was weak, then he was strong. For he had nowhere else to turn except that grace of God found in the word. By human standards, he was not a successful missionary. He was not invited to the White House for dinner, but he was invited to the courts to be tried, beaten, and persecuted. But in weakness, the word of God remains supreme. And in our weakness, God's grace is glorified. When we are weak, when we are hurting and broken, confused and sad, lost and alone, then we are strong. When we are bold and confident in what we have accomplished, then we are weak. It's completely backwards from the way that we normally think and the way the world thinks. We think if we just had a little bit more finances or a better pastor or more friendly members or something else, then we could grow. Ah, but the power rests solely in the Word of God. We are nothing more than instruments of God preaching that Word. So when we are weak, then we are strong. For we have nothing else to rely on except the grace of God. God uses even Satan to accomplish his purposes. And so he does not take him away from us. He does not remove every rock from our hearts. But he keeps us weak so that we have no place to turn but to Christ. He alone can comfort our broken bodies. He alone can comfort our hurting souls. He alone can bind and heal us with his word. It is not by our effort, but it is by the word of God that we are strengthened, forgiven, and given life and endurance. Back to the word. Christ places us on his shoulders and carries us back to those green pastures of his word, back to the scriptures. Where else can we go? Where else do we find the knowledge of salvation? Where else is God Most High revealed to us as a loving and gracious Savior, who does not condemn us, but freely saves us by his grace? Who else can make sense of this world around us? To be sure, we will not understand everything, for it is a mystery why some suffer and others do not. But we are not meant to understand everything. We are meant to live by faith, trusting that God's will is always good and right. Even when we cannot figure it out, our wants, our desires, our emotions, our feelings, our intellect, our ideas, our plans, all of it must be subjected to the Word of God. And then we produce that fruit yielding 100 times more than was sown. So the disciples go back to Christ looking for an answer. They didn't get this parable. They were perplexed by it, and yet faith was planted. For faith always drives us back to Christ. Their minds and their hearts submitted to the Word of God. It's the same situation as St. Paul was in. It didn't make sense why he should suffer so much, yet faith lives solely by the Word of God. Even though by human standards it does not make sense to us in the least. That is the bountiful harvest that God is working in you. That you live by faith, even in the midst of weaknesses and sufferings. You do not understand everything that has happened to you in your life, but faith turns back to God in prayer. Faith seeks instruction from the Word of God, and will go only as far as the Word will let it, knowing full well that we cannot possibly answer every single question we come up with. And faith doesn't care. And then Christ comes to us with that Word to open his mouth, and the rivers of life come flowing out, making our faith bud and flourish. Your lives have changed. Perhaps over the past week, perhaps in the past year. But your lives have changed. Your lives have drastically changed since the moment you were born. And yet the one constant in your life is that Word of God. It never has changed. Your problems have changed, but the solution to those problems has not changed. God still comes to you whether you were 2 years old or 22 or 82. He comes to you to offer you the forgiveness of sins. He washes away your guilt and places you in his kingdom. He continues to strengthen and sustain your faith, knowing full well that without him, you are left trying to fend off birds when you're nothing more than a plant. So regardless of how your week has gone or how your life has gone, God continues to walk the fields of your heart, scattering his word, revealing to you the mysteries of his kingdom, mysteries that are founded solely in Christ. Christ is the word made flesh. Christ is the seed of the woman. Christ is planted in your heart, even as he was planted in the ground after his death. And on the third day, he sprouted forth as a new and living, glorious vine, even as he sprouts forth in your heart, leading you to every good and perfect work. These are the mysteries that God gives to you solely by grace, through the preaching of his external word. Weeks change, your life has changed, but that word will remain firm forever. And it's a word for you. You have changed. God's word has changed you. It is still a mystery, but with the disciples, we long to hear more. With St. Paul, we submit to the word of God. Even when we can't figure it out, we know the devil is out there, the world is against us, and our own sinful flesh seeks to divorce us from Christ. And we confess that we are completely helpless to stop it. But God is not. And so we go back to where God is found, back to his word, where he once again fortifies and solidifies our hearts, watering and nurturing our faith, so that we produce an abundant crop 100 times more than what was sown. It does not rest within us to accomplish this, but solely in the Word, solely by God's grace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen.